Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good afternoon and welcome to the chat, Peter. Welcome to a brand new time of 1:30. But it's still the same, pretty fits and figures. Coming up on today's show, I'm going to tell you that Brad Pack, David Seymour are to the road between the academic. Plus, I'm going to tell you the video project hired a good switch, should reveal its draft infrastructure plan. And Chris Luxon, physicist and nebulous, it's all coming up in my show for today, right now. I'm going to play. It is famous again by Edison Ray on Chatterpedia on Arrow FM.
Tell me who I am. Do I provoke you with my tone of innocence? Don't ask too many questions. That is my one suggestion. You know I keep it real. I live for the appeal.
Fame is a Gun by Edison Ray on Chatterpedia on Arrow FM. Fat DVD promo, David Seymour play. He has been a bit playful with social media posts, which Fred was shot scores supporting his party. Regulatory says of having a derangement syndrome. Fat couldn't see coffee liars. Day in Te Amara, an anthropologist and historian, is one of the four academics. Mock posts Seymour on social media. Sees this criticism as an attempt to side dissident scholars and Savin Strode from Trump's America. As a standoff, neither will back down from one defending academic freedom, other defending what he sees as a long overdue regulatory reckoning. And just to back up a little, the bill introduced by Regulation Minister David Seymour is designed to enable the assessment of proposed and existing legislation against a set of established regulatory principles. It has critics, however, who say it favours corporate interests ahead of communities, environmental protections, added in the Treaty of Waitangi. Daniel Lasley White wrote an opinion piece for website Newsroom, which laid out known reasons why its legislation regulation is flawed and should not pass. Among the reasons listed was that it received just 8.6% of a paid vote in the 2023 general election, meaning 91.4% of voters did not support it. As a result, she said it does not have a Democratic mandate to push through the bill, especially given a strong libertarian basis, which she argued puts corporate interests above community well-being and the environment. Laughable. She also said there was little reason to trust the previous intent behind the bill, which stated somewhat plainly as to support Parliament's grant of legislation and its oversight and control and use of delegated powers to make legislation, because the government can ignore scrutiny when it feels like it, such as when a government passed under urgency without public consultation to controversial changes to pay equity legislation. Seymour replied, making Dane and his secretary second regulatory standards derangement syndrome victim of the day. Apparently asking ministers to explain what they're doing now is a step towards oligarchy. He wrote in a caption on a social media post. He said that the bill requires governments to be transparent about laws that restrict freedoms, impose costs, and reduce poverty rates. It is far from racial idea, he wrote. It means showing your working. He argued that Greta's object not to be serious of a bill, but to the fact it limits arbitrary power and prioritizes individualized due processes and cost benefit analysis over ideology. Which is the whole point. On Monday, he doubled down on suggestions that Damien and others had derangement syndrome. Of course, they increased damages are deliberate and fearful of our line. He said, of course, say they're incapable of understanding what they are saying. I'm not saying that. I'm being playful, saying the only reason that I can think of for all this totally virtually increased damages about our regular derangements, regular status bill, is that there's some sort of citizen syndrome out there. And again, down on Tuesday, took another aim at Seymour's status. Seymour holds a double standard over criticism. I've been referring to the Deputy Prime Minister and his colleagues were so harmed and intimidated by the haka in Parliament that three of their parliamentary colleagues were excluded for 21 days. She said, reversing for historic suspension of Te Pan Mai, EBS final protest haka during the first Pretty Transports Bill vote. For a certain result, you know, but even it doesn't extend to members of our public who simply carrying out their democratic rights. And even when the Mayor Toy Whanau got involved, asking Chris Luxon, the PM, to investigate Seymour's erratic behaviour. And Luxon's right, and yeah, the PM, it's bloody David Seymour stood in, so I'm going to dismiss the critic. Very transcendental bill passed the first year of May. Submission of the bill has closed on Monday. I bet a pinky promise for the first surplus bill because it can actually do more damage to New Zealand than do the good stuff. Like wrecking the environment, Peter Chitira Waitangi. And under one New Zealand turned into a corporate lies land. I hope it's going to get best definitely and kick flipping David Seymour out of power because she is a little brat monster. He is. I'm going to hate watch first. And David Seymour. And David Seymour wants to go to the future for us. Because that's the dream is Bells failed in a secret shooting National News in 19 for opposition fight against it. Fair race behind this racial standard spell, they can even be more dismissive fan. They can even be more dismissive fan of treated principle spell. Hope can bell can rotten hell for good. If news is first oppose the bell at a second reading. Reading.
Now you're smart enough. Now you're smart enough to know that those 23,000 submissions, 99.5% of them were because somebody figured out how to make a bot make fake submissions that inflated the numbers. And you're getting in my face saying, "Hey, oh, you know, you failed." That's what you're trying to do. If you want to raise the standard of debate, we can dismiss it right now and say, "Yep, it's got easier and easier as time's gone on."
I asked you. I asked you what the consultation was. You responded by saying it was in the submissions.
Yep.
And I responded by saying, well, not even a third of 1% agreed with your
opinion. Yeah, because that quantum reflects nothing more than the fact that it's got easier and easier for people to make really, frankly, fake submissions. They've got bots, they can make a submission, they're doing it right now in regulatory standards. It doesn't actually move the debate anywhere. If you want to have a discussion about the merits of the bill, then we can do that.
I think we are doing that.
Okay. So why did you bring up a percentage that you know is meaningless, that you know reflects nothing more than somebody managed to run a smart campaign with a bot? Why did you bring that up?
Well, how do you know that?
Because we've looked at them, because we know what the contents of them is.
Yeah, oh God, David Seymour's alone. He's a selfish prick. Because he's arrogant. Because Nigel don't fuck the air party yet. He's still making Thomas instead of catching. I think David Seymour had more power than Chris Luxon does. Because Chris Luxon is too busy going overseas. Right now, it is body movie by Eliza Rose and Kevin Harris on Chatter Peters coming up right now. I'm gonna play. Gonna play death metal to you. I'm gonna play A Blood Power by Dave Fetus on Chatterpedia on Arrow EDM. We'll be right back. That was a Blood of Power by Diane Fetus on Chartopedia on Arrow FM. As Chris Primus, the Crystal Lasso, he went to Hague to discuss with all the NATO leaders and New Zealanders invited guests. So our Prime Minister Chris Lasso has caught up with former colleague of sorts at a NATO summit in the Netherlands. But instead talking more about consumer goods by talking of war. You're looking great. Lasso said he wrote as a bigger brace on the first afternoon of a NATO leader summit in The Hague in a meeting of NATO Secretary General Root for former centre-right Dutch politician who, like Lasso, once worked at Global Trade Unilever, was among the six bilateral meetings he had with European leaders on the sidelines of a NATO summit, which runs into Tuesday. New Zealand, New Zealand is for us is such an important relationship. Let's see, talking of Indo-Pacific War. Of all, IP4 County had been part of NATO. That's when he's been the only IP4 leader to attend this year. See, Luxon, but were you a favourite? That is a secret, but it's a very important relationship. Francis was a secret, but it's a very important relationship. Rochester having seen New Zealand peace or help on other Ukraine war despite being so far away. Was a use of a schedule of four other countries. Speaking of words, Luxon said he and Root never crossed paths at Unilever, but he began talking with him once he became Prime Minister. Root is a long-serving Dutch Prime Minister undertaking the NATO role. Luxon said they brought a good friendship by working with college governments and MEP systems. He said the NATO meant if they talked of security corridor between New Zealand and NATO, there was no upgrade for New Zealand to spend more on defence. NATO had an old commitment to an external threat that is represented in a war in Ukraine from a New Zealand point of view. The fact we doubled our expenditure, we got a very clear, comprehensive plan. You know, a lot of our partners are quite impressed by that. A performer between the leaders was a theme of Luxon's meeting throughout the day. He briefly greeted Swedish Prime Minister Ulf Kristersson and Finnish Prime President Alexander Stubb. He met with Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen later that day. A new meeting was with Dutch Prime Minister Dick Schiff, also a fellow centre-right politician who Luxon have formed upon since becoming Prime Minister. Stephen Attenkamp was Prime Minister Residence. Katsuas, Luxon embraced Schoof and a hug. Schoof will also lead the college government of four parties, but have been more fractious than the Luxon's. Efforts on his government cliffs, been one party withdrew and remains a key taker prime minister. As if he discussed college politics with Schoof, Luxon said, we talk about also as leader to leader level. This is what a commonality with a Dutch in particular. I think it's a lot of natural warmth, but bigger than Festus in New Zealand. Our trade and buyers are actually going gangbusters and lots of fear of opportunity to do us more together. And it's fun as well. Trade last year was a visit at the World Hoarding Center where horticulture technology is developed and studied to meet with Dutch businesses that trade with New Zealand. He also visited the Netherlands branch of Dawn Aerospace, a leading Kiwi Space Company. We're not going to tell you that Trestle Minister Chris Bishop's Trestle plans for the remainder of government other plays, but remembered by Lois Rice and Kevin Harris on Chartopedia on Arrow
TV. The bee in my body is looking to grow. Want to get down, yeah, I'm looking to move. The beat of my body matches to a groove. Wanna get down, yeah, I'm looking to move.
That was Eliza Rose featuring Gatehouse Body, moving on to the Peter on Arrow FM. Here's a recap of our politics if we get into Chris Bishop's transport plans. Prime Minister Chris Larson is set for Hague, where leaders of a powerful NATO major Eliza leader US President Donald Trump are set to meet back home. Acting Prime Minister David Seymour is dismissing concerns that he is stifling debate about a regular standards bill. For a social media campaign, actors accused academics of having a derangement syndrome. Infrastructure Minister Chris Bishop has revealed the 30-year plan draft for infrastructure investment. The government's ability to negotiate key trench claim is in doubt. New South Wales Changes has launched its own bid to direct the single Ngāhuhui claim to settlement. While treating negotiations, Minister Paul Goldsmith is backtracking and agree to disagree. Close in a Te Whanau Avenue deal settlement. No. What New Zealand will be like in 30 years. Chris Bishop is set to lay out his vision to Murray. Later this morning, Infrastructure Minister Chris Bishop will reveal the draft 30-year plan, setting out what big project governments will build in New Zealand. 30 years is a long time, far longer than even government can expect to govern. And this plan, Bishop says, has been shared with and developed alongside opposition politicians. We are trying to navigate our way through reaching a degree of consensus. Bishop said on Tuesday, the plan has been developed by the New Zealand Infrastructure Commission. Bishop said there will be some areas where political parties cannot reach consensus. The key area around how to use public-private partnerships, PPPs, to fund public infrastructure using private investment. He said Labor did not want to rely on their funding for assets such as hospitals, where nature would be capable of doing that. However, be a public debate or a special debate on Parliament to discuss the report, I've made the commission available to meet all the opposition spokespeople, so they brief Labor in the lead up to the report. Bishop said, virtual 30-year plan will be released this morning and we'll expect to have updates. What includes after it's been released today? First, Chris had to say after the announcement. As New Zealand will probably build more infrastructure if World War III breaks out. By building more military and military training bases and get better and blow more war tanks.
As many of you know, I've had six priorities as infrastructure minister since coming to government. One of them was developing the 30-year infrastructure plan. I've talked about improving infrastructure funding and financing, developing the new National Infrastructure Funding and Financing Company, improving consenting, improving health and education infrastructure, and strengthening asset management. Now, I didn't pick these problems randomly. They reflect findings and recommendations from the Infrastructure Commission strategy released in 2022, and also a big programme of work that we undertook in opposition, engaging with experts from here and overseas. Many of the recommendations in the draft National Infrastructure Plan reflect these priorities, and I think this means that we are, as a government, we are heading in the right direction. I want to pick up on a couple that are themes coming through the draft plan. Improving funding and financing. Public infrastructure in New Zealand has historically been primarily funded by taxpayers and ratepayers, but our reliance on this very blunt approach has led to perverse outcomes, including congestion, rundown assets, and the unresponsive provision of enabling infrastructure contributing to unaffordable housing. So one of the things we've done over the last 18 months or so is work on a suite of new and improved frameworks, including a new funding and financing framework, refreshed PPP policy, strategic leasing guidance, and guidelines for market-led proposals. The purpose of these documents is to help the government use its balance sheet more strategically, apply commercial disciplines to investment, and be a more sophisticated client. This year, we're focusing on establishing new funding and financing tools for councils. In February, I announced five specific changes to make our councils' toolkits more enabling of infrastructure to support urban growth. We've got to deal with this long-running housing crisis that affects and permeates almost every aspect of New Zealand society. Inequality, social inequity, unaffordable housing, and extreme fiscal expense for government. Sorting out the underlying infrastructure issues is critical, alongside the zoning reforms that are important as well.
New Zealand's legislature will do your job by improving your transport so you families can easier to get around, no matter in New Zealand cities, where do you live in? As one of our main priority is give a opportunity to Granada Link Road being built so where the residents don't have to go all the way down the Hutt Road through Nawaratu through the Nangaroa Gorge to if you want to go from Hawaii all the way to Tara or even the Kapiti Coast. And Petona Granada Motor will actually boost the Wellington economy by billions of dollars, adding more GDP to the Wellington region. I better hope the national government's been built fat. Right now I'm gonna play gonna play Fina Bay by K Motions and Songa on Jadapedia on Arrow FM.
007 when versing, 007 when flirting. Blind guy came to my show, said I was better in person. Yeah, said I had blood in my Air Force, this time red wine and bourbon. Custom made some words, I'm this right here for a different excursion. Bow, bow, let's have it. I can't stop having it off, I'm stuck in a habit. Yeah, red wine filling my cup, I'm a vino bandit. Yeah, my surname is what it is, but I thought I planned it. I'm too outlandish. Anyone don't like drums, man, I don't speak their language. Half of the team in laughing states, don't mean Tiffany Haddish. Bitches the baddest, so after the summer to me and my mother, I miss it to Paris. Going away when the parties are done. Five figure last month, don't start with a one. Come a long way, but hardly begun. Yeah, get a wheeler, but off your mum. Wheeler again said, nah, not done. Yeah, I'm the prettiest son of a gun. This one here, as far as it gets, don't fly too close to the sun. Bow, bow. When raving next day chasing pavements, just to the bag in public, I'll never be famous. My guy trying to pattern me up, I don't know what my name is. One too many, I can't stand up on top of the world. Red wine on trainers. Bow, bow, pour me another. My girl said I've had too much, I tell her I love her. Getting to bed, I'm staring at walls, she's still in the cover. Stupid o'clock and I can't find Ubers, end up belling my mother. Vino Bandit, yeah, me and K-Motion's working, that's a cheat code anthem. Yeah, me and one hits on hits, me and K both have them. Yeah, Young Sun's wide of the post, I think Timo banged them. Vino Bandit, yeah, me and K-Motion's working, that's a cheat code anthem. Yeah, me and one hits on hits, me and K both have them. Yeah, Young Sun's wide of the post, I think Timo banged them. Oh my days, that is a slapper.
That was Vino Bamba Commotions and Zonga on Chatterpedia on Arrow even. All right. Right, we're going to tell you the most top 10 most egalitarian countries in the world. As a people egalitarian country, as one of every child regardless of their background, every other adult and every in any other age group has the same chance of each first death. Nobody's held by being poor, treated unfairly in this perfect like hierarchical systems. While all countries are not perfectly equal, some have close, such as Iceland, these countries have prioritized accessible education, healthcare, and social support for everyone over blooded face oligarchs. His societies recognize what perfection might be elusive, really lives by equal to guide the path towards a fair and more compassionate world. On the other hand, the least egalitarian countries in the world often suffer from huge wealth disparities. Limited access to education, healthcare, and systematic discrimination. In the United States, income and wealth equity has been a present issue for a long time because America has one of the highest level of inequality among developed countries and in the OECD. As a small percentage of the house proportion of America's wealth and GDP, while a large portion of struggles with economic hardship limited access to essential services such as healthcare and education. Minority countries such as Denmark, Finland, and Sweden are the most income-equal countries in the world. Essentially, for the Nordic model, the model relies on some of the world's highest tax rates. News. In 2018, according to the OECD, Denmark, Norway, and Sweden collected approximately 46.3, 49, 9.9, and 42.9% of GDP in taxes. In contrast, the United States only raised 3.5% of its GDP through taxation in 2019. More than 2018, Sweden have a top personal income tax rate of 37.3% in Denmark was 55.8% and Norway was 46.6%, first highest applied to the full range of income levels. In comparison, the U.S. top tax bracket in 2018 was 37%, affected only individuals earning $5,000 or more or $600,000 for married couples fitting jointly. It's also worth mentioning that while it's true that the GDP growth for the years was 5.9% and different for Denmark as well as one of the highest tax countries was 4.9% in 2021, there's no evidence to support countries' high income equality to translate economies into slow economic growth. Such as austerity, social measures imposed in Britain for the last 14 years that actually destroyed the economy real bad. Which will probably make Britain's low standard among the worst in a Germanic world. Even Germany, which can't go through a recession, it is far more egotistical and less impactful by the austerity measures. Because austerity actually affects the cost of living and fed income equality. Moment 10, Ireland. Ireland's morality equated by decriminalising sex work to protect the rights and safety of sex workers. This evidence in Ireland is concerned about sex workers' rights and will hence consult advocates to address the negative impacts of existing legislation. Mainland Germany average rank 10. Germany has improved its gender equality ranking, moving from 10th place in 2022 to 6th place in 2023. According to the World Economic Forum, progress in political power was noted, but economic alteration due to high wage gap with limited female representation of management positions. And the lackluster economic growth in Germany in the last 3 years probably hint of egalitarian opportunities. Nevertheless, Germany still outperformed the UK, Canada, and the US in this ranking. It is one of the most egalitarian countries in the world. Number 8, Australia, average rank 9. In Australia, Adventure, but NCOC, Asian Investment in Education, extended via partnerships with organizations like AMB and Atlanta and Medellin Foundation, where they most support students in building the most in demand skills and digital confidence. Number 7, Iceland, Asia Strength, 7.25. Iceland is renowned for its gender equality as it has topped the world's Economic Forum's gender equality report for over a decade, with near half of the assignment seats held by women in 2021. Iceland's democratic and social model earns its reputation for place for gender equality as even Iceland closed the wealth gap not too long ago. As Iceland is one of the most gender-equal countries in the world. Number 6, Netherlands, average rank 6.75%. Dutch teenager constantly rank high in lifestyle functions with strong social support, egalitarian farmers at home and school, and flexible educational systems. The country's low employment, economic stability, and optimistic society has also played a role. Teenagers tend to have minimal pressure to confirm greater freedom and for self-discovery. The Netherlands is one of the most equal countries in the world. Mobile source are regular 6.5%. Switzerland maintained a relatively stable income distribution with top 10% consistently earning about one third of their total initial income before and after government redistribution. Switzerland's strong economy, employment opportunities, coupled with its dual education and trading system, help limit income disparities. The ratio of 10% of Switzerland's pay approximately 51% of all income tax, while progressive federal tax versus tax competition among cantons, which are equivalent to trade size of USA's and Canadian provinces. Number 4, Finland, and Frank. 5.75. According to a study conducted by the Labour Institute of Economic Research, Finland has relatively small pay differences and low income equality compared to most European countries. In 2050, full-time wage and salary earners in the highest income decile in Finland will pay at average 2.7 times more than those of lowest income decile, considered a low figure internationally. The study also found that Finland's share of low-pay workers was the fourth lowest in Europe at 11.6%. Finland contributed Finland's low income equality and more egalitarian, include high union density, which favors trade unions so bad its poor cultural collective agreements, quite outrage, and most added formations. Monthly Denmark range rank of 5. Denmark as well as expected well income inequality gender balance. One actively participated in workforce, which is further helped by pre-11 daycare support, but hold important political roles with a history of female ministers. Men enjoy ample family time, sharing childcare responsibilities and housework. LGBTI plus rights are progressive with same-sex marriage and acceptance. Denmark is renowned for transgender history and LGBTQ plus inclusive Nobel Prize in annual pride parade. Number 2, Sweden. Sweden has a reputation as one of the most egalitarian countries in the world. She has a strong commitment to social welfare, progressive taxation, and gender equality. A Swedish government provides extensive public services like healthcare and education to roughly even distribution and opportunities. Further for their progressive tax policies, as it reduces income inequality. Sweden's focus on gender equality has led to women's added participation in the labour force. In leadership roles, baby set back down by Muslim immigrants will probably undo the egalitarianism by putting those straight hierarchy, straight sexism into the country and said Swedish war has been right for people, so for Swedish people too, they hear black. And finally, number 1, Norway, with an average rank of 2. Norway is a global leader in gender equality and has thus both social prosperity and financial growth. Women are supported participation in the workforce, had contributed substantially to the country's GDP with a 10% boost attributed to increased female employment between 1973 and 2013. Government policies like geoplanetary help women's career opportunities and increase fathers' involvement in child care. Federal legislation mandates 40% of boards and public limited companies include women to be gender balance in leadership roles. As Norway is the most egalitarian country in the world. Mm-hmm. Less countries than around most Muslim countries. NFF, get us done. We're Taliban opposed sexism rule on women, such as women banning, such as post bans on women going to school and other issues they raise as men. And the least egalitarian countries in the world are Afghanistan, Chad, Algeria, Pakistan, and Iran. And Pakistan and Chad and Pakistan have faced significant charges in empowering women as their own for economic participation. Faris, why Muslim countries don't want to be egalitarian, but rather want to be stuck in sexism. I'm going to play just a little bit by Kiss of 88 on Shadowpedia on Arrow FM. Just a little bit by Kiss of 88 on Jadapedia on Arrow FM. The fact of the day is, did you know that a human heart beats approximately 100,000 times each day? Oh, that's a fascinating fact. Final song of the day is How Old Are You by Nico Mitchell on Jadapia on Every 80s Italian Disco. Mm-hmm. Well, Tauri by Mega Metal Even Metal Disco Track from 93 have become a hit across Europe. Well, that's it for Shadowpedia. I'll see you next Wednesday. Visit Shadowpedia on Arrow FM.